Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I'm not going to lie, you're slacking. You're slacking on starting that business you've been holding off on. It's just living in your head. And if you don't act now, that idea is going to leave, or maybe someone's going to take that idea. And there's a tool that I personally use, and that is Shopify. You don't need to be a web designer. You can just start moving, zooming in, adding the text you need, adding pictures you need. And Shopify has so many templates you can use from. Get it out of your head and onto a website with Shopify. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. They make it easy to manage growing your business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on all the important stuff like growing your business. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025 has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/sonoro to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/sonoro.
Your data is like gold to hackers, and they'll sell it to the highest bidder. Are you protected? McAfee helps shield you, blocking suspicious texts, malicious emails, and fraudulent websites. McAfee Secure VPN lets you browse safely, and its AI-powered tech scam detector spots threats instantly. You'll also get up to $2 million of award-winning antivirus and identity theft protection, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
It is hard. It is hard. And it's one of the things I really try to teach my kids. Like, it's really an inside job, because if I go back and look at decades of my life, it's like, wow, you really have to sit in the shit, and you have to feel your feelings and not numb, whether it's alcohol or shopping or dating and relationships. Like, you really got to just like feel it to heal it, so you can just like move on and deal with shit.
And that's hard. It's hard.
It's hard. It really is hard.
Thanks to Sana Skin Studio for supporting the No Podcast. Sana is a skin studio that is shifting the relationship with your skin and your products through goal-driven facials, real guidance, and clean skincare. Stay tuned for our promo code so you can receive $25 off of your first facial at Sana Skin Studio.
Welcome to the No Podcast with me, Nikki Spo.
What is up, my friends? Welcome back to the No, where it is not about knowing everything, but about coming to know ourselves. I am your hostess, Nikki Spolstra, and I am so excited to share with you that I was a guest on Carrie Fund's brand spanking new podcast, Surviving Roots, and she has given me permission to use our recording to share with my audience. You guys, she is such a light, and I really want to encourage you to check out her show. It will uplift you and help you feel seen, heard, and understood, and honestly, less alone on this wild journey of life. In this episode, Carrie and I discuss my journey through sobriety, loss, and motherhood, and I can't wait for you to listen in. Before we get started, here's your call to action. Make sure that you are subscribed to the No so that you never miss an update, and make sure that I get that download, which puts our important conversations in front of more people. Next, you may have heard me speak about the new exclusive online women's community that I've started called Becoming Her. So who is this community for? Well, Becoming Her is specifically for the woman who feels like she is on the verge of becoming the very best version of herself, that her energy, and would benefit from being around other badass women who are helping each other get there, whatever that looks like for each individual. We are all on this mission, and when you sit at a table of like-minded women, the conversations just hit different, and that's why you need to be a part of this. It's not a magic wand solution. It's an entire collective energy shift, and I know how to help you get there because I've done it for myself, and I have helped hundreds of other women find it within themselves too. The ultimate goal is that when you think of the phrase, oh, she's her, that you fully, truly, wholly understand that you are her. You are her. You are the woman you've always wanted to become. You have self-actualized that energy, you embody it, and you know exactly who you are and what your integrity means to you. We meet once a week and we talk about all of the things. And we have experts in the wellness industry jump in for exclusive webinars, plus so many more perks that you can learn about on the site. I'll drop the link in the show notes so you can sign up. And with that, please enjoy this recording between me and Carrie Fund on her podcast, Surviving Roots.
Thank you everyone for being here today. Today's guest is someone I've been wanting to speak to for quite a while. Nikki Spolestra is the host of The Know with Nikki Spo, a globally top-ranked podcast which highlights the stories of individuals who are finding and celebrating their deepest sense of inner knowing in a space where it's not about knowing everything, but about coming to know ourselves. Her podcast has been nominated for the People's Choice Podcast Award and is up for two coveted Gracie Awards, which honors exceptional women in podcasting and journalism. On top of all of this, she's a single mom of three and has overcome tough life experiences with ferocity and grace. Nikki, I am so excited to be talking to you today.
Harry, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations on everything that you're doing. This is so exciting.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I mean, listen, your story is one that not only embodies resilience, but you're redefining it. And through your sobriety and loss, heartbreak, joys and challenges of motherhood, you've emerged as this guiding light to others for hope and empowerment. And I firmly believe that our pain isn't our prison. It instead can be a catalyst for unlocking our true potential. And Nikki, you're living proof of this transformative power.
I really appreciate that, Carrie. You know, it's wild when you say that, because I don't think people go through life thinking like, I'm gonna be a beacon of light and hope. But I'm like, use my pain and turn it into all these things. Cause when you're going through pain, you're like, this is painful. Like, I don't like it here. Like this, I don't like it here. Right. But I like it here now. Now we love it here.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's such an inspiration because so many people, you know, they fear their pain. They don't want to feel their pain. They numb from their pain, and pain can, you know, push us down, and you have really allowed it to propel you forward. So it's truly inspiring, everything that you've experienced over the last couple of years.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a wild ride.
By looking at your platform and everyone that you've spoken with on The Know with Nikki Spo, you have such a deep interest in the human experience. And I'm dying to know, where does it come from?
You know, I think back to like my childhood, even I think some seeds were planted. My mom was a Pan Am flight attendant. You know, I speak really openly, Carrie, about my very tense relationship that I had growing up with my mom. My mom was an alcoholic, but things don't happen in a vacuum. And like, as traumatic as some of the life experiences I had with her specifically when I was little, like she was also like very, very magical. And she had a lot of really beautiful qualities about her. And so I think that that's really important to note in the human experience, right? Is that you can be two things like at the same time. But when I think about like my interest in the human experience, I think a lot about like my mom traveling the world as a Pan Am flight attendant, you know, back in the day, like that was a very glamorous job to have. And she was so proud of that. And she really instilled in me this desire to know how other people live. Right. So I became really interested in that, like from a very young age. And then as I went through my childhood and then my adolescence, you know, some of those bad things, those were happening more and more frequently. And I had other relatives in my family that taught me how to paint and taught me how to sew and make my own clothing. And I threw myself into dance, you know, and later became a professional dancer. And I think that I've been a deeply feeling individual for as long as I can remember. Like, I think the word empath is like so overused and it's kind of trendy, but for what it's worth, I think that I am just a very, I think my, one of my gifts to the world and in my life is that I feel deeply. Like maybe I feel deeply, more deeply than other people or what's normal, but I really do feel deeply. And I've been that way since I was a child. And I found a way to use that and to make it into something, whether that was me designing clothes and having fashion shows or working in the community from a very, very young age, whether that was me being a dancer and going into professional dance in my art career. And I studied art history. I just think that I've always been really fascinated by that. I like don't love every genre like in the world, but I do love the history of the things. And like, I'll give a quick example is like, I went to the NBA Hall of Fame when Chris Bosh was inducted into the Hall of Fame. My family and I got to go to that. And, you know, I always joke, I'm like not a basketball girly. Like I became a Heat dancer because I wanted to be a dancer. Like I didn't know anything about basketball at the time, you know, and I grew obviously like over the years, I learned so much about basketball, right?
I would hope so.
Yeah, right. Totally. But I didn't grow up watching sports. I didn't grow up like a sports girly. I like didn't, my family wasn't that type of family. Like literally the first Heat game I ever went to was because my dad was like, if you want to try out for the Miami Heat dancers, you should go watch the Miami Heat dancers. So I literally went to a Heat game for the first time. I don't know who we were playing. I don't know. I was waiting for the two timeouts, like the two timeouts where the Miami Heat dancers would come out. And I was like, I need to watch the Heat dancers. I was like, what is this basketball shit that we're watching? Oh my God. Who cares about that? Right. Like who knew like what my life would turn out to be like down the road. But I wasn't into basketball, but my point is in getting through that, obviously I developed a love for basketball, but more than anything, I developed a love for the people involved in the things, right? So like going to the Basketball Hall of Fame induction was beautiful for me because it was like, I got to see all these people who have had such a great impact on the sport, which is a pretty young sport, 75 years old, 76 years old, maybe this year. And like men and women, old and young, who have had a tremendous impact on the game. So all of this to say, I am like, I love history. I love people. I love to learn how people are, what moves people and the impacts that they have in their chosen crafts.
That's really amazing. First, I can relate slightly because for some reason when I was 15, I tried out for cheerleading. I made varsity captain and I still probably through my entire high school years didn't know the difference between defense and offense, and the co-captain would have to tell me which cheer to call out. Like, I don't know anything about sports. Why am I a cheerleader? On a different note, you know, I want to go back for a second because you said some really important things. I can relate with you in terms of, I had a very interesting relationship with my mother and actually both my parents. My dad was the alcoholic, but my mother was addicted to just being the victim of life. And I think you're so right when, you know, it doesn't have to be this or that. Like if your childhood and the things that you were talking about, it all doesn't have to be a bad story or a negative story. You can juggle and carry both positive things, which it sounds like your mother really instilled in you a lot of beautiful qualities. But do you think that you're such a feeler because of your upbringing, because of things having to deal with in your childhood? Because I know I have found myself to be a feeler and really have empathy for others. And I know a lot of people who grow up with harder childhoods or hardships, they can either be cut off and not emotional whatsoever because of fear of being hurt, or they can overfeel and want to just be truly connected to other human being because of maybe connections they lacked growing up. Like,
you know, Carrie, it's interesting. I think that I was kind of born this way.
Yeah,
I really do. And I also, I don't think that much about it. Like, I choose not to think. So like, there was a part in my healing journey, which I think is ongoing, right? We're always healing. Yeah. We're always evolving. And I have something to say about that too. But I think part of it is like, I tried for a while, I became like attached to the identity, right? Like the identity, yeah. I identify as having gone through this really difficult thing. And at this stage in my life, I'm really trying to move away from like identifying with anything. I just am, right? And so I got to a point in my journey where I'm like, okay, I get it. I had done so much talk therapy, Carrie, that I'm like, okay, I get it. I understand yeah. things that happened to me and what made me and my personality this way. And now I think I'm in a space that I'm moving away from, okay, well, I'm this way because, and just like, I am, this is who I am. You know, yeah. and making sure that I continuously grow into a person that I like, right? Yeah. Like I obviously, like I have severe severe abandonment issues, which deeply affected so many of my relationships in my life. You know, I can look at that and be like, I can identify that and say, especially as a single woman now, oh, I have abandonment issues. Well, the reality is that I don't really like having abandonment issues. Like it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. I also live with anxiety. I clinically have anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like living with anxiety, right? It's not fun. It's not fun. It's not like a fun experience. I can't wait to have anxiety over this situation. And it's not as simple and cut and dry as like, well, just don't have anxiety, like breathe through it. It's not that simple. But when it comes to something like my abandonment fears or a trigger response that I have to something, I can sit here and say, okay, well, that's who I am. Oh, well, or I can say, you know what? I don't really like those qualities about myself. So let me work on ways to improve them and move through them in a way that feels better so that my life experience feels better for me.
Right.
Right. And it's the same thing with like, I'm a survivor. I survived sexual abuse. I survived physical abuse, psychological abuse. I am a survivor. I'm a sober woman. I did this a lot when I first got sober. I was like, I'm identifying as a sober woman. Now I'm kind of like, I am a survivor. I am a sober woman. But I'm also like so much more. And like, I choose now the bad things and the good things. I'm a divorcee. Like these things are not the only things that define me. They aren't. So I make a conscious decision, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, not to put so much of like pressure of like my sense of identity in those things.
Yeah. You know, it's beautiful that you say that, because when I was researching you and reading about you and everything that I see that you do, you're so many things. So like I would read this and I'm like, well, but you're so many things. And it's so interesting because it's not that you're a gatekeeper where you protect your present and your future from your past. You're continually shifting forward and moving forward, and you're just becoming. And you know, sometimes we become from unbecoming. So our becoming is from our unbecoming. So it's really a beautiful process. And, you know, you mentioned about living a sober life. Like, what has that created for you? Because how many years have you been sober?
Four. I just celebrated 4 years. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It is, you know, I'm constantly shifting towards this alcohol-free life. And I've only done it for 8 months, a year and a half ago. And in those Thank you. In those 8 months, I really felt like it was the first time in my 46 years that I felt truly connected to myself. I was like vibrating and working and creating like on a different level. And I mean, what's 4 years feel like? Like, what has this created for you?
I always say that sobriety is like the best thing to happen in my life, but it also had like catastrophic effects on a lot of other areas of my life. So because I started to wake up to myself, getting sober allowed me to rediscover who I am. Mm-hmm. It allowed me to realize that I'm worthy of this life that we're living, even if it's hard at times. Getting sober allowed me the space and the grace to show other people grace and myself grace. It made me more tolerant. I think that getting sober allowed me to rediscover myself. But, you know, when, and I studied this, you know, I went to therapy when I was really little because of my mom's alcoholism, and like everybody in the family unit, when there's an alcoholic, has like a role in the family unit, right? Like everybody kind of plays this role, whether that's an enabler or a cheerleader or whatever, whatever. And so what I came to learn, and I'm talking about like all of my relationships, right? Like my family of origin relationships and things like that. It's like when one person is sick, like the whole unit is kind of sick. And so because you have to, everything operates in this really weird way. It's like all the cogs are working in this dysfunction, right? Like this, the dysfunction of it works. And so when one person begins to heal in a family unit, right? And so I can say that from my family of origin, when I started to get sober, it changed my relationship with my dad. It changed my relationship with the rest of my family of origin. You know, and that's across the board. So it was a big reckoning. It was a big awakening. I was able to help my mom, you know, who I had been estranged from. I was able to go and do an a sober intervention on her, like during my sobriety. I was able to put her in a rehab, which I would not previously have been able to do. You know, I couldn't show up for my mom physically in the way that I wish I could have, like maybe like been there with her at the end of her life. But in my own way, like I was able to bring myself to have the capacity to provide for her care financially, which before I just wouldn't have done it. I would have been like, no, I can't do it.
Right.
You know, so in my own way, like I feel like I made my peace with her, which has been hugely liberating.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that people mistake getting sober with like, it's all peaches and cream and rainbows and butterflies. And Carrie, it is a lot, right? Like it really is like so much better than I could have ever imagined. I had the courage to start my own business. You know, I don't think I would have done that, but it's hard too, because you have to learn how to function in the world with the same pains and the same triggers. And now without the crutch of being able to escape through whatever means it was, you have to kind of learn how to sit in the shit. And that's hard.
It is hard. It is hard. And it's one of the things I really try to teach my kids. Like it's really an inside job, because if I go back and look at decades of my life, it's like, wow, you really have to sit in the shit and you have to feel your feelings and not numb, whether it's alcohol or shopping or dating and relationships. Like you really got to just like feel it to heal it, so you can just like move on and deal with shit.
And that's hard. It's hard.
It's hard. It really is hard. You know,
and I still have those feelings. Like I still have feelings of like, people ask me like, do you ever get triggered by alcohol? Like fortunately, by the grace of God, and I know that it's God working in my life, you know, that sounds woo woo for some people. I have a relationship with God that God does not exist for me. God did not exist for me when I wasn't sober. Like I did not believe in God. I did not believe in any God before I got sober. And like, it's not that it's like a culty thing, but it's like through my sobriety was able to find a relationship with the God of my understanding. So like the two don't exist without each other. Like I don't stay sober without God, and God doesn't exist for me without my sobriety. Right. Yeah. And so I was able to find that. And that really has been hugely transformative in my life.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's beautiful, because, you know, when you get sober or you're alcohol free and you're just truly connected to yourself, you have this higher sense of intuition. I mean, I became much more spiritual during those 8.5 months. I mean, I started meditating for the first time in my life, just sitting still and listening to my inner voice. And I don't know, it's just so beautiful. The world is so beautiful around us. And you just sort of miss out on so many things when you're just not connected. You know, staying sober is huge. And you mentioned about like the hardships, like how did you stay committed to your sobriety? So God is your relationship with God, because you've dealt with a lot of hard things. The loss of your mother. I want to talk to you about your son's diagnosis, if that's okay.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break so I can thank our sponsor, Sauna Skin Studio, with their OG location in Wynwood and their additional locations in Fort Lauderdale and Coconut Grove. Okay, so the best way I can describe sauna is that it feels like coming home. Unlike traditional facials, sauna's facials are rooted in education, and I love this so much. Every experience I have had at Sana has been a chance for me to learn more about my skin and its needs. I love that the facials are effective while also being accessible enough to be a monthly ritual rather than a yearly splurge. This is why the Sana membership is so great. I'm honored to be able to provide our audience with a promo code. Use the code THENOGLOW for $25 off of your first facial when booking at SanaSkinStudio.com and additional incentives if you book a membership. I have absolutely loved my skin healing journey with Sana Skin Studio.
How did you stay committed to your sobriety?
Service. You know, like in this roundabout way, like I don't sponsor anybody right now. You know, yeah. I'm not a sponsor. I don't sponsor other alcoholics, but like one of the things that people in 12-step programs talk about, the 12th step, step 12, is to be in service to another person who is sick and suffering. And so like in my own way, like I feel like having conversations on my podcast with experts and other people who are going through stuff, I feel like that is a service, right? Like that. And it helps me too. Like, but it also just, I believe that it helps other people. And when my life was falling apart, when my mom had just died, I had just found out I was pregnant with our third child, which was a planned pregnancy. And our son, who was 4 at the time, was diagnosed with Burkitt lymphoma. Oof. I was just like, oh fuck. Like all of the things, like all of the worst case scenarios were happening. And I thankfully had a really good support system. Like I would drive home from the hospital sometimes in the middle of the night and call like a girlfriend and literally just scream into the phone, like, you know, like just and like be crying on my drive home. Like I'm hormonal because of my pregnancy and I'm spending nights in the hospital. It was just, it was a really, really hard time. I don't know. I just think that like I stayed the course. And so what I was going to say is that I am not triggered by alcohol. Like people can drink in front of me. I don't mind. I can generally go to a bar with friends who are socializing and drink my water and my Diet Coke.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm a little bit triggered by seeing drugs. So like drugs cannot be present in my life. Like I cannot see them, but that doesn't mean that I don't like, just because I'm not triggered to drink alcohol doesn't mean that I'm not triggered to escape. So like, I still very much, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling pain. I want to escape. I don't want to be here. Make it stop. Right. Yeah. That's when I try to like, I know it sounds so corny, but it's like you hit your knees and you get on.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I get on my knees and I pray to God. It sounds so sad. Like, I feel like such a dork saying that, but I actually get on my knees and pray to God. And for what it's worth, like, if you just wait a little bit, like the feeling passes. And, you know, so like something that I struggle with is like, I smoke cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
I've never actually said that like out loud. Like my friends kind of know about it. You know, like every once in a while, I'll like go outside and instead of downing two bottles of wine, I have a tea and I smoke a cigarette and that's my relaxation for the night. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of that. I think it's gross. Right.
Yeah.
I think it's a gross habit for the record, but I'm like, she can do anything. She can't do everything. Right?
Right.
In my world, I'm like, she's not drinking. She's not doing drugs. She's not shopping to like make herself feel better. I'm not sleeping around. I can do anything, but I can't do all of the things at once. So it's like,
I love that.
But one of the things that I consider, I'm like, okay, now, like, I know that I don't want to do that for my whole life. I don't want to. I understand. Yeah. I want to live a long time. Like, I love myself so much now, Carrie, that I'm like, I don't want to hurt my body. And I know that that hurts my body. So I don't want to do it anymore. So one of the things that I work through now, I'm like, and this is a good example where you asked me, like, how did you get through it? I'm like, okay, just wait it out. I'm like, I want to go smoke a cigarette. What if I wait 5 minutes?
Yeah.
What if I just wait 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Distract myself with something different. Like, go be productive and do something else. Like, and then I'm like, okay, well, maybe wait 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Okay. Now that desire, now like the addiction part of my brain that kicks in or that I want to have this, it subsides a little bit.
Yeah. I think that's the importance of self-awareness and self-control. I mean, if we could just sit and still or just take that pause. I want to go back to this God thing, and I don't even know why I'm talking about this really, because this was not sort of anything I was going to mention today,
but those are the best conversations.
I mean, they really are, but you know, I relate to so many things with you. You know, as a mother myself, I can only begin to fathom like the depths of fear and uncertainty that comes with having a child that's diagnosed with cancer. Our experiences are extremely different, but I do know what it's like to have that weight of facing the potentials of the big C, because when my daughter was 3 months old, my husband was diagnosed with cancer, and I literally had just coming from a very toxic upbringing and feeling like no self-worth, no sense of that I deserved love. I finally, you know, found my soulmate, had this family I created, and then the big C came into our lives. And I just remember night after night, like rocking my daughter to sleep, crying, feeling so alone, wondering like, wow, maybe my mother was right. Or maybe I'm not worthy of this love, or maybe I don't deserve any of this. And I would pray to God. I mean, God really came into my life during that time. And I was, you know, raised Catholic and I converted to Judaism but it was nothing that was sort of like a huge part of my life. But when cancer came into our lives, I just remember praying to God so much, praying for my husband's like life and praying that it never touched my child. And although I don't know exactly what you went through, I deeply really empathize with the emotional toll that the desperation and hope, like as a mom that you had to face, like that's a mother's, I think one of their worst nightmares is getting that kind of diagnosis. So like, what kind of thoughts do you have to share with mothers that are going through something like that? And I really want to know what it felt like, honestly, when you heard your son was in remission. I mean, thank God.
So thank you. And I'm sorry to hear about what your family went through, because that must have been so, so hard.
Thank you.
You know,
cancer is not fun.
It's not fun. When we got the diagnosis, the advice that I have for moms is to listen to their intuition.
Yeah.
Like, I remember taking my son to the doctor because he had a tummy ache. And, you know, my son was in preschool. So like, kids get sick all the time. RSV, everybody in our family had RSV, like, I don't know how many times, like in that one school year. And so little dude had been on antibiotics for a bit, right? Antibiotics mess with your tummy. Yes. Yeah. Everybody knows it. Okay. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to the pediatrician. I'm like, his stomach hurts. And initially it's like, well, yes, because he was just on antibiotics. So like, try giving Culturelle, which is normal. Totally standard. But then I started to realize that like the way that his stomach was hurting was not normal. It just wasn't normal. And I can't explain it. I just knew, I know his personality. I know when he's joking. I know when he's not joking. You know, we tell the truth. I prioritize telling the truth in our home, and we do not cry wolf. We take our health and our lives very seriously and our safety. And I remember just thinking, This is not something cultural is going to fix. And so I'm like calling the doctor's office like every day. I'm like, what could it be? What could it be? What could it be? Well, yeah. It turns out it was this thing called intussusception, which is when your intestine telescopes into itself and it occurs usually under 5 years old. And so that was what was causing the pain for my son. Now you have to go to the hospital when it's happening, which is hard because it like happens and then it goes away. It like happens and it goes away and it only hurts when it's happening, but you have to get that ultrasound or that, you know, right when it's happening. When it is happening. So it actually happened on the day that of my mom's funeral, which was so crazy. So I'm like, okay, dad, you got to take.
And you're pregnant.
I'm pregnant. I'm going to host my mom's funeral. And I'm like, he needs to go to the hospital right now. We're all like, what? What do you mean? Your mom's funeral is happening. I'm like, I know, but I can't take him to the hospital right now because I have to go host the funeral. So y'all go to the hospital, right?
Oh, Jesus.
So they wound up having a surgery to take care of the intussusception. I'm like, great, good. It's done, right? Then a week later, it's a Sunday morning. I'm at the gym working out by myself. My kids are home. And I get the call from our pediatrician. And he says, Nikki, can I come over to your house? This is a Sunday. The pediatrician is like, Nikki, I need to talk to you. Can I come over to your house? And I'm like, oh shit. Like, I'm like, just tell me what it is right now because I will not make it home. Like, I will have so much anxiety. I cannot make it home. You need to tell me right now. You can still come over. And he was like, your son's had a tumor. It came back malignant. And so we just need to start talking about a game plan. I'm like, I'll meet you at my house in 10 minutes. And he came over. We talked it through. We had to Skype or not Skype. We Zoomed in because it was during the NBA season. So we had a Zoom conference with everybody. I was home alone at the time. And so it was just wild. Fortunately, that cancer, it's very treatable, had very, very, very high success rates.
Thank God.
Like, we went into it knowing that like it was going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know,
but like it's still cancer. You just need it to be over with and done and get the remission.
Yeah. And for a while we're doing chemotherapy and I'm like, okay, we're going in for the chemotherapy. He had a PIC line. Okay. Yeah. We go to get the chemotherapy first couple of weeks. It's all good. And then I'll never forget it. My kids love to dress up in costumes and he had a Spider-Man mask on. Right.
Yeah.
And so he took the mask off and I'm like looking in to the mask, right? Almost like it's a bucket. Like I'm looking into the mask and I see all this hair in the mask. And I'm like, he's fine. I had like told myself, I'm like, he's fine. We're doing medicine. Yeah. We're doing medicine. It's just medicine. It's just medicine, right?
Yeah.
That I'm like, oh my gosh. I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, did I buy a used Spider-Man outfit? I'm like, ew. I'm like, ew, like somebody else's hair is in this Spider-Man mask. Like I bought a used mask. That's so weird. And then I'm like, no, Nikki, your son's doing chemotherapy. That's his hair. I'm like, it was like the craziest thing. I'm like, it didn't dawn on me that it was his hair. And then I'm like, oh my God. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And so sure enough, I like start running my hand through my son's hair and it's just like coming out in heaps. And I was by myself and I'm like, oh my gosh. And he's like, what, mommy, what? And I'm thinking, nothing, sweetheart. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know what? We knew that this medicine might make some of your hair come out. So look, this is just some hair. We can save it if you want. We can throw it away. He's like, I want to throw it away. Whatever. We wound up having a conversation of like, once like the hair started really, really falling out and he had like legitimate bald spots. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, do you want to cut your hair? What would you like to do? We decided to cut it. His little brother decided to cut his hair also. You know, this was something that our family was going through very privately. So like the adults, we decided that we were not going to do anything to our hair. We were not going to, you know, we wanted to I didn't talk about it publicly until after. It was hard. You know, having a child with cancer is very hard. Who's going through chemotherapy is obviously very hard. Like they get sick. If they have a fever of 100.4, they have to go to the hospital. Like we did that a lot. We got COVID while my son was sick. My son got COVID. I got COVID. We all got COVID. You know, that's really that can be very dangerous for somebody immune compromised and going through treatment. So we dealt with a lot of those things. My dad was super supportive. We had a tremendous amount of family support. My friends showed up for me. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, amazing. I mean, I could, you know, like obviously they're my great friends and I know that they're great, but like the way that they just rallied for me was so meaningful. And then afterwards, you know, the remission part of it that you asked about, it was a relief. But it was kind of, it's so hard when I look back at it because I almost see it like I wasn't even me. I was just like floating through that time. Like
I was just going to say, it sounds probably like forget
things that happened because I'm like, I feel like it was a traumatic experience. And so we just moved through it. You moved through it. Every day was just like one foot in front of the other. And for what it's worth, Carrie, my son was happy.
That's amazing.
We were happy. We did everything to just be happy, like, and try to be happy. I think that being for parents who are going through this, my advice is like, you know what cancer is. You know what it is. So you have the emotional reaction to it. Your children don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Depending on their age. They don't know. So what are they going to do? They're going to feed off of your energy, period. We hear cancer and we freak out. We freak out because we know what it means. We know we've known people who've passed away from cancer. We know people who've lost family members to cancer. We know what it is. Our children don't know what it is. Our children do not know what it is. What they know is how you respond to it. What they know is your energy around it. What they know is how you behave when you take them to treatment, how you behave when their hair starts falling out.
Yeah, that's a how great reminder.
Do you treat your child like they're sick?
Yeah. That's a great reminder. And honestly, that kind of advice you can use in so many aspects of our parenting and our mothering.
Totally.
I mean, so I just love your mentality. Like, it's one foot in front of the other, moving forward. You just keep going in life. Like, how did you protect your mental health for you to be present in your life and for your children? Like, what are some things you do to protect your mental health?
I have a therapist. Like, I think everybody should be in therapy. Like, I think everybody should have a therapist. I think everybody needs somebody to talk to. It's not enough to talk to your friends. They're biased. Even the ones who aren't biased are biased. Like, you need to talk to people. I believe that anybody could benefit from a therapist, whether or not they're like struggling with mental health issues. Like, have I been depressed at times? Yes, I have. Have I struggled with anxiety? Yes, I have. Yeah. You know, I've been in therapy since I was a kid. Yeah. I've been abused. I was abused since I was a kid. Like, I have sexual abuse history. Like, I've been in therapy since I was a kid. Yes. But like, even when I think about my life now and how much more peace I feel in my life, I still talk to a therapist because things come up. Still things come up in my life that I'm like, wait, I don't want to fall into old habits. Like, I have a tendency like to seek out experiences that are comfortable. The path of least resistance is one that I'm familiar with. So it's easy for me to fall into things, potentially unhealthy things, just because it's like a comfort. I actually am comfortable there.
Well, I mean, it's sort of like having this coach along your journey, just rooting for your best and reminding you like of your worth and what you need to do to stay on that path.
And also calling you out. I think therapy only really works if you're honest. You have to be willing to be honest. And that's another thing that I love about a 12-step program is that like you got to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to go into a therapy session with a therapist who doesn't know anybody in your life, whoever, and you can talk shit about that person to your therapist and they can
This is why you can't lean on your friends. You need somebody.
But you even with a therapist, therapy is only going to work really well for you if you are honest with your therapist about yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think getting honest with ourselves is really the first step in it all.
It's scary.
It's terrifying. I mean, it's terrifying. It's not fun. I've been doing this with myself for decades, but I would say probably in the last year and a half is where I really got honest with myself. And it's not fun and it's not pretty, but what's the alternative?
What's the alternative?
What's the alternative? You know, what's the alternative?
Right. Totally.
You know? Totally. And there really is this beautiful transformation, not really waiting on the other side, because healing really is a lifelong journey. I mean, you learn to go at your own pace. You learn to choose what you carry on it, but it really is just a lifelong journey. And honestly, maybe I should get a therapist.
I think everybody should.
I mean, everybody, maybe I should. I want to switch to something about just like validation, because you have received so much praise and so many awards. And I really want to know, like, does this validation feel like, do you find yourself fulfilled, or do you, like a lot of us, still seek validation externally?
So first of all, I haven't actually won the awards. Like, I've been nominated for the awards.
You're going to win them. Let's just manifest this, because
we can manifest it, but it's like, you know, like, it's hard when you get nominated, then you don't win. You're like, ah, I want to win, right?
Yeah.
I think what's really important is to like stay rooted in why you're doing it, right? So like when, for example, when the awards come out, right? And I realize, oh shit, I didn't win the award that I was nominated for. I'm like, should I quit podcasting? Should I quit doing this? No, I shouldn't, because it's not really about the award. It's about the impact that I'm having on people. So I think staying true to like your why and why you're doing it is really, really important. I think external validation is normal to crave. I don't think people are abnormal when they want it. I think it is a very normal thing. You want to be recognized. One of the biggest issues that I had with being a teacher was like, I hated making $35,000 a year.
Yeah.
Like, I loved teaching. I was a teacher of the year. I did win that award. You know, I love
it. This is a big one.
I'm like, I want to be in a situation like I taught out of the goodness of my heart. And guess what? I was also married. And at the time I didn't have to earn an income.
Yeah.
Okay. I could have donated my time, but there's something different between donating your time and then also being compensated fairly and appropriately for what you're doing. And one of the biggest issues I have with the teaching profession in our country is that teachers are not compensated fairly or appropriately. And for me, from an integrity standpoint, I could be the best teacher in the room, whatever. It didn't feel good for me.
Yeah.
It didn't feel good. Okay. So one could argue that that is something that I was externally motivated by, right? Like my income, especially in a situation when I didn't really need to make an income.
Right.
But it is what it is. I felt that way. If I was going to be working, I wanted to know that I was getting something that I felt was fair and appropriate. And unfortunately, the teaching profession ain't it.
Yeah.
I could see myself going back to like coaching a dance team down the road. I could see myself doing that. But being a teacher, you know, for me, it was hard. Was hard. I have so much respect for teachers. It's Teacher Appreciation Week this week. I have so much respect for teachers.
Yeah. I mean, they're literally shaping the children of the next generation. I mean, honestly, mothers and teachers, like, they don't get enough credit, because this is like the legacy. This is the next generation of compassionate kids with emotional intelligence, like academics. Like, it's, I mean, it affects everything. It's amazing. Mothers and teachers. But
When it comes to like external validation, I think it's a tricky thing, right? Because there's social media. Social media is a really, really delicate balance. Like, I'm on social media.
Yeah.
I'm on social media. Like, I run my business on social media. Like, I have to stay really centered, because like the next thing you know, I'm like, I want that body. I want that thing. I want that vacation. Yeah. I want that bag.
I know.
Look at their relationship. Look at that, you know?
Yeah.
And I try to be conscious of it too, because I have a platform, even if it's small, even though I have a platform, I try to use my platform responsibly.
Yeah.
You know, and there's only so much you can do. I think it's human nature to seek external motivation. I think it's hugely important for people to like flex their intrinsic motivation muscles.
Yeah.
So I think that takes practice and self-reflection.
I love that. And, you know, it's amazing what you do for your community, for your platform, because there needs to be more of that out there. It's really hard. I mean, listen, I am on social media all the time, and it, you know, my imposter syndrome and my inner critic are so loud when I'm constantly on it. But like when I walk away and I turn it off, I actually can like have a greater sense of self and not worry what's happening so externally and measuring myself against other people. And half the shit's fake anyway, even though I know that and I'm an adult, but it's still, you get caught up. It still affects us. It's crazy. That's why I'll never let my children on it. I told my daughter, like, I'm never letting you on it until you can go and buy your own phone and you're 18 and you're out of my house, because I know how it affects me as an adult and I know better. So I can't imagine.
That's how we grew up without it, right? Like, yeah. I didn't have, like, Instagram wasn't a thing until, I mean, I was living in Los Angeles, is like 2010-ish, 12-ish, you know, like somewhere around there was gaining popularity. We had Facebook before that, MySpace a little bit. But even that, like, I was in college already. So, like, I grew up not having that.
Yeah. Well, I know how, like, having 17 and Vogue and Teen Vogue and the when Kate Moss and her waif body, like, those fueled my eating disorders and my self-image and my self-worth. So I can't imagine, like, a device, like, you're constantly just looking at stuff all day long just a monthly magazine, how much that affected me. Totally. Or a weekly magazine.
Totally.
Well, I would like to ask you to end, what dreams do you have for yourself and your family looking forward?
Oh my gosh. Peace is the bag, you know? Like, peace is the bag, you know. There was, I'm sure a lot of people saw it, but there was like a big, she fumbled the bag narrative, like, online, which was so frustrating and annoying for me because people don't know shit about shit. But, like, peace, it really is the bag. Like, I want my kids and I to have, like, a peaceful life. You know, I used to think that I'm like, what do you wish for on your birthday? Love. Happiness. I don't even wish for happiness. I wish for peace. Because you know what? Like, after those 2 years that I had that were really, really hard, was I happy? No, but I had peace in my heart.
Yeah.
And that is the flex, man. That is the real flex, is to have peace, to know who you are, to be sure of yourself, to be continuously growing. Like, that's my wish, that I never stop growing, that I never give up hope, that I don't lose hope. I think hope is super powerful. I hope that I stay resilient without having to have to be strong anymore. I'm tired of being strong. Like, people, I'm like, so many people are like, you're the strongest person I know, honey. Yeah. I want to retire from being strong.
Yeah. I feel like you've had a lot of experiences that would be in a lifetime, if any. Like, I think you need,
I'm ready to retire from the strength department.
Yeah.
I'm ready to live easy and happy and peaceful.
Peaceful.
You know? And when I say easy, I don't mean like cush easy, even though that's nice. Yeah. When I say easy, I mean that, like, my mind and heart are at ease, that I am at ease with my life and who I am and who and the children that I'm raising.
Oh, that's so important. And it's so beautiful. And I know your journey is honestly a testament to the human spirit, and your experiences will resonate deeply with everyone listening. I hope that it encourages and inspire other people, which I know that it will, to embrace their own paths of healing and growth. And I honestly just want to thank you for opening up today and speaking with me and sharing your incredible journey with all of us. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, Carrie. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Sana Skin Studio. Be sure to use my code, THENOGLOW, for $25 off of your first facial at Sana when booking via sanaskinstudio.com. More than a skin studio, Sana is a movement towards healthier skin and self-love.
Thank you so much for listening to The Know. If you loved this episode, go ahead and share it with a friend. Words are so powerful, and someone may need to hear what we covered today. And if you really loved this episode, please take a moment to rate the show and leave a review. Your comments are so important and valued, and they give other listeners insight on what to expect on The Know. You can connect with me personally via Instagram at Nikki Sapp Spo and The Know with Nikki Spo. My hope for you today is that you are fearless in looking inward so that you can be your highest, most authentic self and go after the life of your dreams.
I'm not going to lie, you're slacking. You're slacking on starting that business you've been holding off on. It's just living in your head. And if you don't act now, that idea is going to leave, or maybe someone's going to take that idea. And there's a tool that I personally use, and that is Shopify. You don't need to be a web designer. You can just start moving, zooming in, adding the text you need, adding pictures you need. And Shopify has so many templates you can use from. Get it out of your head and onto a website with Shopify. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. They make it easy to manage growing your business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on all the important stuff like growing your business. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025 has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/sonoro to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/sonoro.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.